Hello and welcome to True Romance. I'm Carolina Barlow and I'm joined
by Devin Leary.
Devin has Dumois open on her phone and she's going to read in a hot tip.
I just want to read in a hot tip that was sent to one of my Instagram group chats by Jessie Kanevsky. You may know her from the quarantine segment. The top tip is Rand Paul and Countess Luann spotted at Le Bilboquet in Sag Harbor, anon, please. And then a double text, OMG, and now Tom is here, Countess X. First of all, love that it's like, oh, and by the way, something else just happened. Second of all, Rand Paul Luann. Okay, we know that you're racist, but we didn't know. We thought you could have been one of those racist Democrats who's like, wait, well, I just found Hillary to be a little shrill and I wish I didn't have to vote for her, you know?
She is really just taking wild shots at having some kind of husband in some kind of prominent position, whether that be a racist senator.
In what world did I not think Tom D'Agostino was a Republican? In what world did I not think whatever the count? I don't know what the count's deal was. Like, I guess he was French. I don't know if
he openly hated Jewish people.
Okay, so he was a Republican.
Remember those awkward moments at the reunion where she said the count is going to be so surprised when he finds that I'm dating a Jewish person? And Andy Cohen's like, excuse me?
Well, I just meant, like, I don't know if they have Democrats and Republicans in France. Like, I am not well-educated is what I was trying to say.
Oh, okay. Well, since I just had to Google if Rand Paul was in fact a senator or a congressman, I'm not. We're in the same boat.
He's a libertarian. Well, I guess he's a libertarian, but he's basically a Republican. And
libertarians bother me just as much or worse. Yeah.
So I am not actually shocked. Harry Dubin definitely voted for Trump. Definitely stop the steal. Harry Dubin is trying to stop the steal right now. Tom D'Agostino probably stormed the Capitol. So I'm not actually surprised when I really think about it. But I was like, what was this scenario? Like, also, this is what makes me mad. OK, I'm not trying to get political here, but this is important to the Housewives discourse, which Matt Rogers on Bitch Sesh did say is the most important discourse. So I do have to say it. Rand Paul is this fucking libertarian type guy who wears jeans with a suit jacket and tries to pretend like he cares so much about the everyman. Meanwhile, he's hanging out with Tom D'Agostino, who's like some fucking hedge fund guy, and Luann, Countess Luann, in Sag Harbor. That's where he hangs out. So whoever votes for him and thinks like, oh, he's the everyman, he wants everyone to have their individual rights. No, he's hanging out in Sag Harbor with the elite of the elite, Countess Luann and friends. So just think about that when you get in the voting booth. That's not what this is about.
It's really not. I mean, there have been some headlines this week that were pushed aside for the House of Gucci trailer.
Yes.
Starring Lady Gaga and Adam Driver, a couple that as soon as I saw them together, I thought, yes, 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 yes. If anyone was going to homewreck Adam Driver, it would be Lady Gaga.
It is such a shame. He's like been in a relationship his whole career,
I
right?
Know.
He is such a heartthrob. And yeah, I don't think she would do that.
I mean, I don't think so either, but I'm just saying, like, romances on sets happen frequently. You go to a beautiful place, Italy, Ridley Scott's directing you. I just rarely do I feel like Adam Driver is matched in the scene he's in because I truly think he's one of the best actors until I saw him with Lady Gaga, who I think is
Father,
really,
Son, and House of Gucci.
And that's really all we needed to say. This House of Gucci discourse was all leading us up to just say Father, Son, and House of Gucci.
We were talking about the Star is Born trailer before we started recording. This is reminiscent of that, where it's like, you know, an iconic cultural moment is coming, and that's really exciting. And I do recall saying to one Tess Sitzman, friend of the pod, that I was reluctant to see Star is Born, and she said, you can't miss out on this iconic cultural moment. She said, even if you don't like the movie, you cannot like it, you can whatever, but you have to see it because it will be an iconic cultural moment. And she was right, and I'm so glad I didn't miss out on that. I'm so glad I understood the, hey, just want to get another look at you memes. I'm so glad I understood the song when it plays places. Now I know what it is. And I...
Did you like the movie?
Yeah, I love the movie. Yeah. And I saw it. Yeah, and then I went to see the movie with Tess, and I was fucking sobbing my eyes out. So, Yeah, and then I was like, and I'll never love again.
Someone on Twitter was talking about, like, Jared Leto's in House of Gucci, but he's just in basically a face mask of some other guy. And people are saying, oh, everyone's going to see this as good acting now, but you just don't look like yourself.
I'm really over him.
I've been over him for a long, long time.
Like, Dallas Buyers Club peak, and then peak. Everything down, down, down.
I actually was totally into him, Dallas Buyers Club, obviously. Then he came to the Golden Globes in an all-white tux with his ombre highlights, and I was like, okay, I don't know really what's going on here, but I'll allow it. And then his whole speech was basically like, ha, I had to shave my legs for this movie. What a trying role. Hoo-hoo, I had to do my nails. Ha-ha, be like a girl. I was like, you are completely demoralizing yourself right now, and you're really bothering me while you're doing it. So I'm just kind of over him. And then when he tried to do the Joker, and he tried to do all those weird set pranks and stuff. Like,
wait, he did set pranks?
Yes, because he was trying to get into character, so he would send his cast members dead rats and
stuff. No. You have to be joking me.
No.
Wait, so he was saying that was like method acting?
Yes.
I'm sickened, sick, we're sick, over sick it. Right
like,
now.
I just, method acting in general, people who act like that, I want to knock on their door in the morning before they go to work and say, just FYI, what you're doing is not that important. Right. People are going to be on their phones while they're sitting on their couch talking to their husbands or wives about really what's going on in their lives while you're playing fucking costumes and fake horses in the background.
Right. And also, like, there couldn't possibly be more reference material for the Joker. I don't understand in what world you're like, I won't really understand this character until I play a couple pranks. What?
I just don't get it. Your mom said it, actually, and I was thinking about it recently. Her advice, my mom,
and
her advice, her romantic advice when we forced her to give us one of her gems was, you have to date someone who has a sense of humor about themselves. And that's what, at the end of the day, like, people who I have the sense that, like, maybe can't laugh at themselves a lot, it's not that I don't even like them. It's that I get uncomfortable around them sometimes.
It's not my thing, yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, if I can't make fun of you, and like Jared Leto, if I can't make fun of the fact that you look like a robot and you're wearing sunglasses indoors and have a cowboy hat on, like, if I can't say things like that to you, then we're not going to get along, because we're just not going to get to know each other.
No, that's why, like, the most, like, redeeming thing for an actor to do is to play a cameo where they're playing themselves and acting like an asshole, i.e. Ryan Seacrest in Knocked Up. Like, remember, he acts like a total asshole. That was the first moment where I thought, maybe Ryan Seacrest is cool because he's acting like a total asshole, and maybe that means he's self-aware.
I haven't had a moment like that, but sure. Yeah.
And then Channing Tatum, we all know.
I mean, Channing Tatum, we've all heard my story here on the pod of me dancing with Channing Tatum at a premiere, so we can just keep going. But yeah, he was a lovely man. That's like a Luann name drop when she's like, I did once meet Prince William and I gave him my hand. And
Luann is just doing something really insane with her testimonial looks right now, and it's angular and it's not in her favor.
There's an Instagram account called Necklaces of Bravo, I believe, and it's all these necklaces on Bravo, which are some of the most heinous jewelry that I literally, every time I think, where did you get this? As Nikki Glaser says on the show that we're going to be discussing today, Fuckboy Island, did GNC make jewelry? Like, where are you picking this stuff up? Especially when you are, you know, whatever, worth $20 million like Luann might be.
Well, before she bought the house in Kingston, maybe, but
Luann is a repeat ugly necklace offender. She's always wearing a statement necklace, and it is always so insane. And the funny thing is that she's so beautiful.
Yeah.
That I'm like, just let yourself be. Sometimes she appears on screen and she strikes me. Now, if she ends up with Rand Paul, I mean, she'll be going straight down to hell with him, but
it's just like, so all of this was for nothing. Like, Ebony spending so much patient time trying to radicalize, not even radicalize, to normalize to the Real Housewives of New York to be not as racist as they are, was for nothing if Luann is hanging out in Sag Harbor with Rand Paul. That's all I have to say. And that's not even the reality show we're here to talk about today. I want you. Thank you.
So we made the choice, and it was a casual choice at the time, to watch the HBO Max series F-Boy Island with Nikki Glaser, another big money player. And I started this morning thinking, okay, what is this? It's just going to be a bunch of crazy hot people getting drunk on a beach, which it is. But when I started, the people were so stupid. So the concept is basically The Bachelor, except with some tweaks. So there's a group of guys on an island, three girls, Nakia, Sarah, and CJ. And the girls have to eliminate the men like you do on The Bachelor. But what they're intending to do is eliminate the fuckboys. And what they actually have been doing is eliminating the nice guys, which proves once again that women are attracted to people who are cold and withholding somewhat. But there's something, wait, why? What is the money factor involved?
So the men submitted the most interesting part of the structure of the show to me, which, by the way, I did have to watch the intro twice because I was having trouble understanding the concept. Like, I was not quite clear on it. The men sent in videos identifying as either an F-boy, also known as a fuckboy, or a nice guy. So that, I think, is, like, hilarious on its own. But the money, I think, is if they win, like, the girls choose them, they could get what was referred to as up to $100,000. So I'm not sure if that means like you only get the full amount if you do certain challenges or something. I don't know. But I think it's that the fuckboys are there to trick the girls into dating them so that they can make money. The nice guys are there to date the girls and fall in love. And if they get the money, they get the money. I think that's the idea.
The girls we have are Sarah, who's a social media manager who may be 15. She's one of those really petite squat girls who I initially was ready to be like this fucking loser, but she is dumb, but she's also awkward, which is why we like her.
We do like her.
Then we have Nakia, who's a stylist.
Love.
CJ is really the star. She's a
wild card,
a content creator. She waves both hands when she's saying hi, which is a bachelor move. It's a bachelorette move. It's very much a beauty queen move. Sarah and Nakia remind me of the girls like Vinny and Polly would hook up with on Jersey Shore.
Okay.
CJ actually definitely as well.
Here was my first reaction, episode one. All the guys are Love Island cardboard cutouts. Like, they're all perfectly jacked with the same exact body type. I don't understand the decision behind that. Like, not every girl is attracted to weird, jacked muscle guy. That's weird to me. And also, like, why didn't you, like, make it a little bit hard? I feel like if they had, like, some fuckboys who were, like, scrawny types and then some fuckboys.
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, it's like, that would have made it harder to tell. But, like, they're all these jock types. Like, they all look like fuckboys to me. And it's like, honestly, I don't trust a single one of them. I guess maybe that's the point. But it just made me a little bit, like, there's some, like, I feel that way with The Bachelor, too, where it's like, when Wes Adams was on there, who ended up marrying that Modern Family girl, like, everyone talked about how he was, like, scrawny compared to everyone else. And it was like, but he's actually just a normal human being. Like, why can't normal people be on this? First of all. Second of all, my hero of F-Boy Island is, I think his name is Israel. That is my icon of the week, Israel, who said that he was injured and couldn't do the dodgeball. Like, I related so hard to him. He's like, I actually can't participate in this. I'm going to be sitting on the sidelines. And then he got kicked off and didn't even care, which I love. And also the other hero, I think, is Paul, who, no offense, and I hope you take this the right way, Carolina.
I look like him.
No,
I literally almost posted about him.
He is you because, not because you look like him, but like the fact that when the other guy like got chosen, he was like, yes, that guy's great. I'm so happy for him. Like, I just felt like that was so you of having a good attitude and being like, no, I love these people. Like, okay, if she chose him, like, he's great.
Well, that's really friendly, even though that's really nice of you, even though he did say to Sarah, the awkward girl, he said, I'm an F-boy. She said, you are. And he said, yeah, I'm an F-boy. I'm a fridge mover.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I do. I move fridges for a living. And she's like, okay.
And then she was like, I'm not really feeling. She talks very deadpan. She's like, I'm not really feeling the conversation we're having. It kind of feels like not really the most exciting conversation.
Well, okay. So I just want to say some of the jobs that these people have. It's really Trump's America. And, I, you know, the first episode was somewhat depressing because I just couldn't believe that this is where we were. real estate broker. That might seem minor to you, but for someone who's been online dating, it's always a red flag.
Yeah.
Bitcoin investor. That is the soon to be
Carolina,
famous.
That's my technical job title. You never really ask what
I do. We don't really talk about what we do outside of this show. But Devin's a Bitcoin investor.
We got Litecoin. We got Anchor. We got Sturge. You guys into Sturge?
Okay, we'll get back to him. But the Bitcoin investor is this guy, this blonde
disgusting
guy named Garrett.
Looks disgusting. I'm sorry. No, I don't care.
He does look disgusting.
I know you're not supposed to make fun of people's appearance. I think he's so ugly.
He looks like a giant 8-year-old. He looks like he just got bigger. Like, Honey, I Blew Up the Kids. And that's the thing that
he looks like he just got bigger.
That's another thing that bothers me about him is that when he gets there, he's like, nobody else looks like me here. Okay. 10 out of 10, I don't lose. I was like, truly, what do you think you look like?
I know. Because and also, like, no
you
one
look
looks
like a child. And yeah, everyone looks like you here, except that you're not as handsome as half of these guys.
Except, like, from the neck up, from the neck down, everyone looks like you. From the neck up, a third grade class looks like you. How about that?
So Garrett, the Bitcoin investor, takes Sarah out on a date and he basically asks her, you know, how she grew up, blah, blah, blah. And he says, you know, I was adopted. And she goes, oh, really? And he's like, yeah, I was adopted by a Russian orphanage, which from anyone is an interesting
backstory.
Yeah,
that was like, I was like, this doesn't belong in this show. Like, is supposed to be on like The Crown or something.
The Russian orphanages, which are famously like very neglectful and historically have been. And he's like, yeah, my sister too. And my sister was, you know, my sister's deaf. And she's like, oh, really? And, you know, we cut to her confessional when she says, Garrett really like opened up to me. I was surprised how much he opened up to me. We cut to Garrett's confessional where he says, I like to open up to girls and I like them to open up their legs. And I was like, you threw your deaf sister under the bus to just get like further. I mean, I guess if you're gonna get 100 grand, but do you have a sister?
I was just gonna say, well, do we think he even has a deaf sister? Like, if he is that level of fuckboy, he could be making it up for attention, first of all. Second of all, on this date that they go on, This whole thing was a red flag for Sarah, because I was like, you think this is interesting conversation? So she says that she does freelance social media work. If any of our listeners please could write in and let us know what the fuck that means. She does freelance social media work. Then she says, my goal is to have my own brand one day. If any of our listeners can write in and say, what does it mean to have your own brand? Like, she wants to start a clothing brand or something, or like her brand.
It would just be her brand.
But what is it like? Like, brand of socks, brand of, and he said, I can totally see you having your own brand one day. But you just met, first of all. How can you see her doing anything? Then she says, well, you only have, she says, you just have to make enough money to support yourself, you know, and then you can see the world because you only have one life. And he goes, you literally do.
He's not wrong. I cannot believe, like, how stupid they go so fast. But what I've been saying is that this is The Bachelorette, but wasted. Like, all of these people are just turned up. They're making the conversations on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette look like the fucking Kennedy Center Awards. Like,
well, it also has it is more like, I think, Bachelor in Paradise, where we saw the bunk bed moment with wildcard CJ, who is like the one that's playing to the camera. And we both agree that we came around to her in the beginning. One of the first things she says is that she's looking for a dumb guy, because if a guy is too smart, he won't understand her humor. And if she, for example, calls him and pretends she's been arrested, he won't laugh. So that was like a little bit put her in the not my fave category.
She's just like Sarah and Nakia, who all I know about Nakia thus far is that she won't kiss anyone. And then she's like,
holding back.
She's like, it's too soon. And she dated a club promoter and she was like, they're not good guys. And that's why, I mean, I love how all three girls are just like, don't date a club promoter.
Yeah, they're like, I've been down that road.
They're like, his job's cool. It's not like he's a club promoter. And I was like, I am learning from this show. Like, I would ever run into a club promoter.
Meanwhile, their jobs are like TikTok content creator. Like,
yeah,
CJ's job is content creator. Again, do we know what that is? Like, I would love to know what that means. I create content. I tweet every day. I tweet about the house size, get one like. So am I a content creator, CJ?
Peter, but the Peter who was sent home and was an F-boy and was so cute. And he shocked me when he admitted that. His job was childcare slash influencer. And I was like, you've got to explain the mashup. Okay,
influencer daycare. It's a spinoff of daddy daycare.
I just film kids and I put them up on my TikTok.
Wait, so I just want to say that Wildcard CJ and this guy Casey do have they have a cute romance stemming. I do think they have really good chemistry and she's clearly so into him. So what reminded me of Bachelor in Paradise is that they went up to his bunk bed, and that is like one of the most magical things about Bachelor in Paradise that separates it from The Bachelor is that like people can go up to their bunks. Like it's like not like The Bachelor where it's like we only get to be in the same bed when Chris Harrison writes us a weird note in Sharpie and then we get a key to a room and we can be in a bed together. In Bachelor in Paradise and F-Boy Island, it's like the bunks are right there. Are we going to go? Like, let's go and see him. So she right away is like, show me your bunk. Like, and I loved that move, first of all. She's so smooth. She's so into him. Love that. But it is early on, so I can see her trying to pull away. Also love that she has this, CJ has this like rat, this guy, Chris, who like gives her all the information, and like she's so obvious about it. She's just like, okay, so I'm only keeping Chris because he gives me the tea and like he does what I tell him to do, so like I have to keep him on. And then he almost gets eliminated and she goes, wait no, no one asked her to explain. I'm like, what are the rules of this game? Like, even Garrett, 8-year-old face Garrett, like got like, he was like, wait, what's going on here? And fair question.
Garrett was like,
wait, mom, I don't want to stand.
I don't know what's going on.
But he's right. Like, why was that okay? They were just like, all right, well, CJ says no.
No, that's why I like it. It's wasted. So yes, love CJ. She has obviously had Botox and fake lips, as does Sarah, which is totally fine, but it does give young girls a confusing question mark around their age. Like, girls who get plastic surgery really young end up looking older because...
Careful.
I know some amongst me right now have toyed with Botox, and don't get me wrong, I would like some soon as well, too.
Plastic surgery and Botox sitting right here. This is as if Carolina, if I was like... I'm just saying, like, girls who have curly hair and glasses, like, it does make you look
bad. No, but you know what I mean, Dev? Like, big lips when
people
do fake lips.
No, I know I look old. I do know what you mean.
Okay, here we go.
I look in the mirror and I think I'm on the M. Night Shyamalan book.
CJ has gotten work done and it makes her... I'm just like, she, as one of my friends in high school, was always dressing really preppy, but she was also, like, a huge partier. And my friend was like, your friend is a MILF. And I was like, oh my God, she is.
She dresses MILF.
He was like, she's a cougar. And I was like, you're right. Like, she was always really fancy. She would tie a sweater around her neck and then like go get wasted and hook up with guys. Oh, I miss high school. But CJ is bad. And I mean bad in a good way, guys. I love, at the end of episode 3, this guy, Matt, I think he's like a CBD entrepreneur. Maybe he's not. Maybe that's someone else. I can't tell the difference.
Hard to say.
But because CJ wants that guy who's telling her all the dirt, they eliminate this other guy, Matt. And it's either Nikki Glaser or someone else is like, Matt, do you have tea you want to spill? I'm like, what?
Because
usually the Bachelor version of this is a girl walking up to Matt James or whoever and being like, I just want you to know that some people are not here for the right reasons and just be safe. And they leave.
And then they don't give any shit.
What's going on? Matt was like, okay, you guys, so Garrett doesn't think he would hook up with any of you guys in real life. He is hooking up with a girl back home.
He has a girlfriend.
You guys, Greg has a girlfriend at home. And Garrett's like, oh, dude, I've never even talked to you. And all the girls are like, oh, my God, what is happening?
That
what is happening?
That was wild.
And
I
was
forgot.
Like, this is so great. Like, this is what we've been missing. And I just keep thinking, like, are the Bachelor, Bachelorette producers at home watching this thing thinking, why do we hold ourselves back?
Right. Like,
we should
just
say,
ask.
Just give it all when you're leaving. If you're leaving, be yourself and just say what's on your mind.
I know. And I kind of agreed with, first of all, you're right. That was amazing. By the time I got to that point, it was as we discussed with Casey and Danny Pellegrino, like, it just was normal to me. I was like, oh yeah, ask him what the tea is. Okay. He's telling all the tea. But like, CJ made a good point, which is that she was like, I need Chris to give me the information because there's just too many guys here. She's right. There's no way for her to know. People get eliminated and they're like, oh, no, a guy left for a healthcare emergency and they didn't know who he was.
Ryan, they said, Nikki Glaser said Ryan actually had to go home because of a medical emergency.
We all know it was COVID. Okay, go ahead. No way it wasn't COVID, right? He tested positive.
And it was just so funny because Sarah's like, wait, who is that again?
I know. They don't even know who these people are. And they eliminate people because they're like, you literally haven't even spoken to us. And it's like, there's so many people there. So they need the tea. And I get that. I mean, it's a little bit like Love Island in that way, where the first time I watched Love Island, I was like, this shit is crazy. But Love Island can actually get like sadistic, where they will be like, they read, they make them read headlines and guess who it's about. Like, oh, they do fucked up shit, or they make people wear heart monitors and then they make the girls dance in front of them.
That is psycho.
They check which girl the guy's heart rates go up for. Like, it's kind of like fucked up.
Really sick.
So this is like in between Bachelor and Love Island, which I love.
I mean, the best part too is that at the end when you're eliminated, Nikki Glaser says, were you a F-boy or a nice guy? And usually it seems like right now it's mostly nice guys. They've sent home a few F-boys. But the way the nice guys say it, they like look at the girls and like, I'm a nice guy.
I know.
One guy had tears in his eyes and he's like, I'm a nice guy. And then they got to this French guy, job, French trainer. And he was like, I'm a nice guy, 100%.
Oh my God, this was so sinister.
And Nikki Glaser, she's like listening to her earpiece and she's like, we have footage of you saying on camera multiple times that you are a fuckboy. Then they play his casting footage and it's him being like, I live in a play because I'm a player, because I'm playing games with their reality.
He seems sadistic to me. I don't even trust him to be in the fuckboy mansion, which, by the way, the weirdest thing about the show that has yet to be explained is that, like, when they get eliminated, they just go to different houses.
The nice guys stay in this nice mansion together where they eat grapes. Well, the funny thing is, too, I'm like, you think you're a nice guy. Like,
what the other thing is, too. I'm like, these men, when I found out that these men were the ones identifying themselves as nice guys, it wasn't based on testimony with their exes. It wasn't based on, like, I was like, so you're letting serial killers in, basically. Ted Bundy thought he was a nice guy. Jeffrey Dahmer thought he was a nice guy. And actually, he did kind of seem like a nice guy, aside from the cannibalism thing. So I don't trust, like, Garrett seemed scary, the poem guy.
So the nice guys, after they leave, go and stay in a mansion together and, like, get wasted and eat nice food. The F-boys stay in, like, a weird sort of
fenced in like play area, like for dogs.
Yeah, they get like, it's really weird. And the French guy goes there, immediately begins meditating for redemption, and in his words and not mine, and says, I'm no longer fuck boy. Namaste, literally.
But wait, also, when the two new, so there was one F boy from episode one who got eliminated, and then two new ones join, and he goes, oh, you guys are F boys. Like, oh, you guys, like, you go here? You guys go here too?
The firefighter who we flagged as creepy because, and it's really interesting. It makes me think of, like, how our physical intuition tells us a lot, because he's talking to Nakia.
Yes.
Gets really close in her ear and is like, hey, can I just talk to you? And she immediately has that face that any girl recognizes where it's like, no, thank you. Where it's just your body's alarm bells going off. And
he was saying weird stuff. He was like, I'll cheers with you later. Like, she was cheersing with someone. He goes, I'll cheers with you later.
Yeah, there was something messed up. And
but when, yet he says he's a nice guy. So we're supposed to just, like, believe that he is.
But then
giving bad messages to girls.
When he's getting eliminated, he says, I wrote a poem for you. And Nikia has to put on
All trying not to laugh. It's like the Fergie national anthem. They're all trying not to laugh.
Oh my gosh. The poor Fergie.
No.
Garrett's poem is this that I wrote down while watching because I thought it was so moving. When we fall off the path at times, it leads us to strengthen and sharpen our minds. Some of these journeys we must take alone to find what we search for in a place that's unknown. On the other side, it's calm and it's warm. Because when we find love, we're no longer a storm. Garrett Powers. He really gives up at the end. We're no longer a storm.
A storm, whatever.
And then I love that he signs it, Garrett Powers.
I know that partially I was like, when he said we're no longer a storm, I was like, wait, is this a QAnon thing? Like, you never know. But that was amazing. Everyone's trying not to laugh, especially Nikki. By the way, Nikki Glaser, amazing host, hilarious.
Again, these are all missed opportunities from the Bachelor, Bachelorette producers. Yeah. Why do you have Chris Harrison, one of the most humorless men of all time? Like, Like, if you're trying to appease all age groups, you're not. You're not appeasing any. If you got a Whitney Cummings, a Nikki Glaser, literally anyone, it would make this thing a little bit more charismatic. And it, like, makes the group more comfortable. The girls obviously love Nikki.
They love her. They want to be her friend.
Yeah.
And they should want to be her friend.
It's so funny, though, because it is like watching, you know how, like, drunk crowds at a comedy show laugh way too loudly, like, when they're just warming up? Nikki literally walks out in front of these guys and goes, oh, my God, I'm ovulating. The guys are like, she just said what?
I know. Oh, they're like, God. She is wrong.
She is wild. She's at us right now. Oh, my God.
I know. I hated when they did, like, the walkout, too, and they're all like, oh, she's beautiful. She's beautiful. Like, when the girls were walking out, I was just like, this is scary.
I'm just done. Like, I've seen so much of reality TV. Is that for me? Like, with The Bachelor and that. I'm like, I don't know.
They're like, these girls never miss. One guy said that. I was like, okay. But okay, so Carol, who are you rooting for? It's still early on. I think we both had a metamorphosis where we were like, okay, I'm actually into this show now and I'm believing in this show now.
Yes, I will definitely be continuing to watch this show and hopefully we'll continue talking about it. And I hope the nation watches it with us and I hope it doesn't make us stupider and makes us more insightful. And that's a really, really, really big ask, but I'm going to go for it. I'm rooting for Sarah and Josh. And this is why specifically. They are both two super hot, super awkward people.
Yes.
And I really like that combination. And they both didn't even say a lot on their date, but obviously there was very real chemistry between them. And I was like, this is so cute. When they were both literally licking their lips and then he was too nervous to kiss her.
Yes.
And then later he was like, I got really nervous earlier. Can I kiss you? And she was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then she was like, I really like that you asked.
She's so cute. I know. I can tell that she like gets nervous around him, which is so cute. She was like, at one point she was like, I think I like haven't really had chemistry with anyone else as much as I have with you. And I was like, you're cute.
I just
mostly because
really,
she can fit in my pocket.
I'm like, she is literally like he could throw her into the ocean. Like she is so tiny.
He can flip her into the air. Yeah.
And I just think that they're actually such a cute couple. I want true
romance. Well, the upcoming looks really crazy and I'm into it. And also this new guy, what was his name? The one who looks like Russell Wilson. He seems unstable. And he was the one who was like, you're telling me to move over, bro? Like, why are you coming at me with that energy, bro? Like, he was immediately trying to start fights.
Men are so stupid. It really made me sad when Garrett was putting sunscreen on Sarah. And she said, like, I thought it was nice that he didn't try to put his hands anywhere.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, babe.
I know. I just worry. I worry. Because also, I'm just like, the fact that none of them has even said, like, why do these guys all look like Abercrombie model? Like, it's like they should be asking more questions. They're too trusting.
They literally said, I like sleeping. You like sleeping, too? Oh, my God. We'll be sleeping buddies.
Yeah.
There's a lot.
And I'm worried about Nakia because, first of all, she keeps being drawn toward Colin, who everybody
obviously
thinks is an
F-boy.
And then this new guy, the guy Jared or Garrett, I can't remember his name, who looks like Russell Wilson, who clearly has like such aggressive energy. She's really into him. She keeps saying how hot he is. I'm like, Nakia, please, please, please be careful.
But then, you know, her other choice was to be with Garrett, the firefighter /writer who wrote the poem about not being a storm.
Well, it is going to be a Love Island, Bachelor in Paradise type thing where they are bringing new people on. So they brought like three more guys on.
I think there's going to be more twists too. I think that these producers are obviously trying to make their own thing. This is definitely going to be, they're going to try to franchise build this. And I think it's going to be twist and turn. So I cannot wait. Like, I want families to show up.
Families,
I want exes to show up.
Exes. They have to have exes because that's how you know if someone's a fuckboy. I don't know what else to tell you.
I would still love to be on a show like this. I really started saying it as a joke, but like, I'm feeling it more and more that I should like, they should throw me into a bag like this. Like, what would the guys do if I showed up in this outfit? I'm, by the way, wearing a shirt with a bra that does not accentuate my chest. It does, but it accentuates the flatness to my chest. Haven't shaved my legs since I thought I was going to sleep with someone a few months ago. The toenail polish off. I picked at my face, so it looks like I have two scabs on it. And I have new horn-rimmed glasses that make me look like Stephen Hawking as played by Eddie Redmayne in The Theory of Everything.
And I am sitting here with a cast on my toe because my toenails grow sideways instead of forwards. So what would they do?
Let us in, coach. We want to play.
No, Carolina, we actually could submit you. Like, we could apply.
They're not going to let a girl like me in there.
They might, because they might want to, like, they might want someone who's actually funny and interesting and beautiful.
Thank you. I'm going to show up with my cast and be like, I can't get in the water. I can't get in the pool.
That's why I loved this guy that was like, I can't participate in the challenge, because I've never seen someone do that before. And sometimes these dates, like when you watch The Bachelor even, it's like, is anyone going to say like, I actually don't want to skydive? Like, do I have to? That's what I would say. Like, do I have to skydive? Do I have to scale this building? Do I have to like shit in a bucket or whatever? Like, that's what I would be saying. And that's what Israel did. He was like, yeah, I'm not really going to be playing the dodgeball. Hope you guys have fun, because I'm actually an adult and I graduated from elementary school, so I don't have to play dodgeball anymore. Like, that's what I would be saying. Some of these, oh my God. Wait, was it The Bachelor that they had like the fear?
Yes, they like had a fear factor thing.
I'm like, I don't want to eat bugs.
Literally, they were like,
you have to eat bugs to find love.
How you're gonna fall for Matt by literally scaling off of this building.
The only challenge I would have wanted to do is when they like ate pancakes. That was like a challenge. They were like, the guy was like, I'm from a place where people eat pancakes, so the challenge today is pancake.
Every like, day, the challenge today is pancake.
Whatever, if that's what floats your boat. The dodgeball, it's like fast forward. I don't really care. But yeah, appreciated Israel, even though he's an F-boy, I guess.
I'm so excited for an emotional moment to see how Nikki Glaser reacts. Like, I know she's going to play hostess. Like, yeah. I know she's not going to just completely make fun of this thing.
Yeah.
And I also know that she's a Bachelor fan. It's one of those things, it's like, how can I look at you and really think that you're going through something hard right now?
I know.
I hope that we get to continue watching this franchise.
It's our choice. We easily can do it.
I hope we, and I mean the royal we, meaning you, I, and the true romance listeners, get to keep watching this together.
I agree. And I just think, like, at least it's like one of those things where obviously, like, consciousness is so important. I'm just glad that the consciousness of fuckboys has broadened from just something that Rihanna said one time that resonated into, now we all know that basically most men are trash, and I'm not afraid to say it. And this is just showing the different ways that they manipulate people. And if it helps some people see the truth in future liaisons, then I'm for that.
I did think it was really hot when Peter, who I had a crush on, got sent off, and Nikki Glaser said, are you a nice guy or an F-boy? And he went, I'm an F-boy. And CJ went, yeah, you are.
I love CJ. I know. She's fun.
CJ has fun mom energy. Like drunk, like first time a mom who hasn't been out in a while. Like,
I know.
Maybe a dancer on the side and like goes out for one night when her kid's not home.
I know. And I loved when she made out with Casey and then the next day to the girls when they literally will do these scenes where Sarah's like, I'm actually just writing down on this piece of paper who I think is an F-boy. But there's a one scene where they're like, what do you guys think? Who's going to be an F-boy today? And CJ's like, guys, you're not going to believe what happened. And then she's like, I made out with Casey. So I like her energy of that. I like bringing a like day after the party energy into these shows.
My gosh, you're making me miss my youth.
Well, I don't miss it at all. But because as you said, we would be the ones. We wouldn't be the ones. I would be like, okay, guess what? The hottest guy actually made out with me.
I'd be like, what is it? Tell me.
I know. We'd be like, oh, shit.
I'd be like, wait, what did you guys do last night?
I'd be just like, kidding. I hung out by a fridge with that fridge guy. And we just talked about fridges.
I kept thinking that we were going to hook up, but we didn't.
But we didn't. I smoked a pack of cigarettes because after a certain point, I was like, I don't care if he knows I smoke. I just have to get through this conversation.
We will keep you posted on the future of F-Boy Island. In the meantime, I love you, Devin.
Love you, Carol. See you in Limbro. Oh.
True romance, it's so romantic. Love.